Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry.
And I'm sitting here talking to Cody Almanzar over the phone. I'm just going to interview him. As we get started, Cody, if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show and asking me to do this. And sorry that I'm keeping you up so late to record this interview. But yes, my name is Cody Almanzar, and I am the pastor of Grace Family Church in Canyon City, Colorado. It's a small church that's going through a lot of changes over the last few years, but it's a good church. I enjoy being the pastor there. I also am bivocational, so I work at the post office, deliver mail 4 days a week, and we have, my wife and I just had our baby number 7 just 2 weeks ago Wednesday. So this coming Wednesday she'll be 3 weeks old, and all of our kids are healthy, and we are praising God for that. And that's about it, man. That's about as cool as I get. So just a bivocational pastor and family man. And I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but I did run the Ordinary Pastor podcast for a couple years, which recently we stopped doing interviews on that. But that's about it for me.
Actually, sort of listen to your podcast, and I'll really just say this for the listeners' sake, because you already know. Sort of listen to your podcast. I guess it's been about 8 or 9 months ago, and really enjoyed it. And as I was telling you earlier, I always wanted to possibly be a guest on yours, but I was nervous the whole time, so I decided not to. And then after you stopped doing it, I started doing this one, so I thought it'd be cool to get you on here and talk about the podcast and just talk about ministry and all of the things that go with that. When I sort of listened to your podcast, I also work for the post office as well, and so that's one thing that I thought was kind of cool. So you kind of understand. But after I listened to it and I got to thinking about it, there's been a lot of pastors that actually work for the post office, and I always thought that was funny.
When I was in seminary, there was a guy who enrolled there, and he had just retired from the post office, and that was one of those jobs that I thought, man, I do not want to do that. You know, I didn't want to deliver mail or anything like that, but then the opportunity came up, and God provided it for us. I was approached and asked if I wanted this job. I didn't even apply for it, and it's worked out so well. So we're thanking God for that as well.
I delivered mail for about a year and a half, and I don't know how you do it 4 times a day, and I hated it. I actually work in an office now, so I get to read a lot during the day. Maybe my boss won't listen to this, but anyhow, excited to have you on here, man, and just looking forward to the conversation. But really just want to talk about ministry and talk about the podcast that you did as well. But we'll go ahead and we'll start with the podcast, and then we'll get into the ministry aspect of it. When you started your podcast, I know you're no longer doing it, but when you started it, kind of what drove you to start it, and, you know, and then also what kind of made it come to an end? Why did you decide it was a time for that season to end and all of that?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I don't know why, honestly. I have no idea why I wanted to start it. I'm not good with technology at all, and the recording and stuff like this. I really had no idea why I wanted to start it, but I remember I was at work one day at the post office, and I was driving around, and people kept telling me, oh, you got to listen to this podcast or this podcast or this podcast. And as you know, you do have a lot of time when you're delivering the mail. So I was trying to listen to some, and the content on all of them was just not good. And I like things with a lot of deep content for whatever reason. And a lot of these things were trendy, kind of cliche, trendy, like they'll go away, you know, in the passing of time. And I was thinking, you know, if I started a podcast, I'd want something that would be helpful to guys in the ministry. And being here as the pastor of the church I was pastoring there, I wanted to go in and be like an apprentice of sorts or an associate pastor somewhere and kind of get my feet wet and learn from an older man and things like that. And I just kind of got thrown into the fire, and I went through a lot of things, which we'll get into, I'm sure, later. But there was a lot of loneliness that I was going through. And so as I was listening to the podcast, I was hearing guys like, you know, Al Mohler and James White and all these guys on these shows, and they're great. And I love those guys, love listening to them. And, but I was thinking, you know, really what they're doing is not, they're the exception. They're not the ordinary pastor. They're the exception to that. And God has brought those guys up and given them great minds and to help us who are the ordinary pastors, the guys who are out there working two jobs, who have a family, who struggle with Greek and struggle with Hebrew and struggle with trying to get their sermons prepared. And we're up, you know, 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, still finishing our sermons and those sort of things. And I started thinking, that's the guy I want to hear from, is a guy like me who's done it or who is doing it, because that guy can be helpful to me. And so I started the podcast thinking with that in mind, and also as a network of sorts to help guys like me who are kind of isolated here and in other places, guys who are pastoring small churches and trying to do things biblical. And I wanted to build a network of pastors that could come together, that we could pray with one another, that we could build relationships. And it seemed to really work. One of the things that I've taken away from the podcast myself is a lot of good friendships that I didn't have before with guys. I mean, one of my best friends is a pastor in New York, and I can call him up and he can call me and we can talk on the phone. And I didn't even know him before the podcast started. So it's been one of those networking things. And, you know, there were just so many good guys I talked to. I mean, the connections that I was able to get and just really, it was like a gold mine of knowledge that I was just able to sit in there and ask these guys anything. And they were honest and they were real. And there was a lot of painful things that people talk about. There were so many good things that people talked about. And it was just one of those things that I was so honored and privileged to be able to be a part of. And I did not want to build a brand for myself. I didn't want to be like trying to build up my name, you know, where these mega pastors would know my name or anything like that. I wanted the ordinary pastors who were being interviewed, I wanted them to get their story out there and give their information out there to be helpful to others. And it seemed like that's really what God used it for the time. Now, when we were talking about winding things down with a podcast, because I just recently stopped just a few months ago doing episodes after a couple years of it, which really is a short time if you think about it. Podcasting is, you know, it's one of those things that could go on forever. But what really took place in that time, and just being honest, there was a lot of discouragement with the podcast towards the end. Not from the guys, but from just trying to get guests on the show. Because it was one of those things where people wanted to be on, they were excited to be on, and then as time went, they started wearing down, and they didn't, you know, I would have guys who would say, yeah, 1 week I had 4 guys cancel on me in 1 week to interview, and then I had no interviews that week.
Wow.
And then, yeah, and then life started getting so busy for me, and, you know, my wife was pregnant with baby number 7, and we were in the process of buying a house, and things were happening at the church. We had a couple of cases of church discipline come up, and we brought on a new elder at the church, and we had some new members joining, and all these things happening at once. And we're also, and we'll talk about this a little later too, I'm sure, but my church is hosting a conference out here on the Five Solas of the Reformation in October. And so planning for that was really the planning, and the preparation for that is really starting to gain speed. I'm going to be working on another degree here, hopefully next spring, and trying to get everything working that way and to focus on my studies. And it all just kind of hit at once. And I realized then that it was time to stop, because I was getting frustrated and I was getting stressed and burned out, and I knew something had to be eliminated. And I realized none of those other things could be eliminated. The only thing that could is the podcast. And, you know, I love doing it. I love talking to these guys. But there was just so much that came up all at once. And I did start getting discouraged by the cancellations and or guys forgetting or whatever it was. You know, I was getting discouraged by that. And so canceling it, stopping the show was one of those things. It was a relief. It was kind of bittersweet. One thing I'm proud about with stopping it was that we didn't overstay our welcome in the podcast land. And so that's basically it. That's basically how the beginning of it happened and the end of it happened. So I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to know about it. I'd be happy to tell you.
No, that's really the gist of all of that. I just wanted to kind of introduce that out there, because as I was telling you earlier, the week that this one will actually air will be a week that is kind of specialized on podcasters and their time in podcast, in doing a podcast, and then even some that are still doing podcasts. Because, like you said, it has been, for myself, it's actually been a really good tool for God to help teach and develop me. And that's, I was thinking about, you know, you're telling your story of how you started the podcast. The reason why I started this one is actually very similar. It's a little different in some areas. One big thing I wanted to do was provide a resource that provides resources for people in ministry, because so many bivocational guys don't have any kind of educational experience or anything like that. Because for example, I know a guy that's in a similar situation to yours, has about five, six kids and a full-time job and part-time ministry, and they just can't make it happen. And so resources to me, you know, podcasts, reading, things like that, you know, that can be helpful more than just about anything. So I think that's enough on the podcast, because with this podcast, our biggest focus is ministry. And so I wanted to start off by asking you the same question we ask everybody we get on here, is how would you define an everyday ministry?
Oh, man, that's a good question, because there's so many things that I think go into an everyday minister that it would be hard to define succinctly. But I think two of the defining things of an everyday minister, one, he's a man of prayer, somebody who prays for his congregation, he prays for his family, he prays for himself. A man of prayer is one. Two, a man of study is another. Somebody who, like you said, you just mentioned these resources. You know, we don't always have time to sit down and read a 1,000-page book, but we do have access to a wealth of knowledge with the internet and through podcasts and through sermon audio and things like this, where we can study, where we can open up the Bible without sitting there with the Bible on our lap and being able to understand it. But it's a guy who's daily praying for his congregation, his family, himself, and it's a guy who's daily studying to bring the word on Sunday. I mean, one of my friends described the sermon as a smorgasbord. You open up a buffet for people to come eat, and you're feeding them the word of God. And so by doing so, there's got to be that preparation. So I would say those two things are pretty high on my list for an everyday minister.
Awesome. Love the response. Love your answer. One thing I love about asking this question is that we've had five episodes go out, and we've recorded, I think, eight or nine, and I've got a different answer every time, and that's what I love about it, because every ministry is different, and every context is different. So awesome, man. I enjoy that answer. Man, aren't we all called to be men of prayer, man? That's awesome. Well, tell us the story of how you ended up at the church you're at, how long you've been there, and just kind of some demographics of the church itself.
Yeah, I was enrolled in seminary, and I started there in May of 2011 at Sangre de Cristo Seminary in West Cliff, Colorado. The seminary is awesome, man. It's like the president of the seminary and his dad built all the buildings. I mean, they cut down the logs. They did all the logging themselves. They built it, everything. And it's like on the side of a mountain, the school. So it's a beautiful setting, and I was there. I enrolled in May of 2011, and in September of 2011, there was one of the students from the seminary who was preaching at this church here at Canyon City Christian Church, and he asked me if I would be willing to come help out, because I'm from Canyon City, and it's about an hour away from the seminary. So I started going down there and preaching off and on with him. And the church was experiencing a lot of turmoil. There were two elders there who were not qualified biblically to be elders. And I was going down and preaching off and on with Matthew, the student at the seminary. And then Matthew, the next year, ended up leaving and going to Scotland to pursue another degree after he graduated from the seminary that we were attending together. And when he left, I was still preaching at the church there. There was about, I don't know, 15 people, and they were broken, man. They were really discouraged and broken, and the elders kept telling me, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, you got to do this, and I told them, I said, guys, I don't even know what my role is here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing at the church. And they said, well, you're our pastor. And I was like, okay, you know, well, if that's the case, then things need to change here. We got to start doing things differently. And I saw that these elders there at the church were not qualified. And one of the elders was very condescending to the people of the church. And he was just not a leader. And I wasn't 100% on board with staying there, but I knew throughout seminary, I didn't graduate until 2013. I thought, this is every seminary student's dream, is a church to come preach at every week. You know, instead of trying to find places to preach, I can come preach here every week. And so I was excited about that opportunity. But I saw these elders, and I was trying to work with them, and the people of the church were just, it was every week they were coming in. They wouldn't make eye contact with me while I was preaching. Their heads were down. It felt like they were beat up. And there's a lot of history at this church, just bad, bad history with pastors just using them, stealing money, all these things. So I graduated in December of 2013 from seminary. And before I graduated, I had been sending out a resume to churches all over the country, just everywhere, trying to get somebody to call me, and actually had a church in Michigan call me and say, yes, we'd like you to come out here. My family and I, we went out there. I preached for them a couple times. They unanimously voted me in as pastor the next week, and we were getting ready to pack, and then things went completely south there. And thankfully, that happened before we moved all the way to Michigan. But we didn't, we ended up not going there. And there was another church in Nebraska that had called me out there. I went there. They liked me, but I didn't like them. It was really weird. And my wife didn't like them. And so we said no. And on the way back from Nebraska, I told my wife, I said, you know what? Why don't we stay? Why don't we stay there in Canyon and commit ourselves to this church for however long that is, for however long God leaves us there, and change the things that we see wrong with it, where we can work with the people trying to change the Constitution, trying to change this or whatever it was. And we agreed to stay here and pursue it. And I started preaching on biblical eldership, and maybe that was too soon. They always tell you don't try to change anything within the first 5 years or 2 years or whatever. But I started preaching on biblical eldership because I realized that the church was beaten down, and most of where that's coming from is the eldership. The eldership that was there was not good, and they weren't leading right. And as I started preaching through that, the elders stopped coming, basically, to church. And I had one guy show up one week, and he was completely just blew me off and was being mean. And I told him, you know, you probably shouldn't come to church this week if you're going to be this way, because we're supposed to be leading these people and shepherding these people, and you're not even talking to them. You know, you're being mean, basically. And I just asked him to reconsider his role as an elder at the church, and he resigned the next week and left. And the other elder there ended up just leaving and wouldn't return calls, wouldn't respond to text messages, nothing. It was just over. They were gone. They were done. After that happened, the church members that stayed were very worried because they saw our church go from 15 to maybe 8 people. And I preached in that building to 4 women before there wasn't even a man in the service, and there was only 4 women in the congregation. And they were very scared, and they were very worried about what are we going to do. I had a lot of people telling me we need to close the doors, but we didn't. And we stayed, and I just opened up the Bible week after week. And what we saw God do, especially during the year of 2013 into 2014, was he brought a lot of people in, where our church went from 8 people to 25 people, and then we jumped from 25 to 40, and then we jumped from 40 to 60, and we ran 60 for about 3 months in the summer of 2016. So over these years, we were progressing, and it was very exciting for all of us. And I think I probably got a little too assured of myself during that time, not relying on God enough to build his church. And it was during the height of all of that that God really humbled me in a way that I would hope that no other pastor ever has to go through. And that is through church discipline and slander in the church and things like that, that really have not only torn up church members, but families as well. And we've seen our church decrease then from numbers from 60 to about 30 now, where we're running about 30 weekly. And it's still good. It's still a great place to be. You know, on Sunday, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than there. But there's been a lot of cleanup after these cases of church discipline. And, you know, when we committed ourselves here, it's almost like a marriage. We didn't commit ourselves until things got ugly and then quit. It was almost to like till death it was part, till God shut the doors on us here. And I don't think he's done with us yet, and we see a lot of exciting things. We've had some new people coming who are very interested in joining, and we have faithful members here. And we just had a wedding recently, just Friday, of one of the young men in my church married this young lady from another church, and it was the most gospel-centered marriages I've ever seen in person. It was just a beautiful reflection of Christ and the church and his love for the church. And to see that is so exciting coming from a young man in my church. And it was just one of those things that just as a pastor, you see that and you think, man, I am so proud of you for preaching the gospel in this way to these people at your wedding. And so there are a lot of exciting things, but that's basically it, man. It was kind of by default that we ended up here. It wasn't by, we tried to leave. My wife and I tried to leave. We tried to leave here, but God kept us here. And through thick and thin, we've been here, and it's good. It's good.
And the encouraging thing I pull from your story is the fact that you saw growth. And I think I knew a little bit about the story beforehand, but as you're talking about it now, it's the fact that you stayed faithful to preaching the word. And you would probably agree with this statement, is that that's how their growth happened. You probably didn't throw on a show every Sunday or nothing of that nature, but you preached God's word, and that's what caused it to grow. And I think that's something all pastors and leaders of church should take note of, man, is, times get hard, they're difficult, and I'm actually, a lot of the situation you're going through, you went through in the beginning, is kind of where I'm at, not the bad leadership beforehand, but just kind of the discouragement that people are in, and small in that area, and so that's the thing I hold on to, is just preaching God's word, and his time, he'll grow to be what he desires it to be, and he may desire to be what it is now, and all I can do is be faithful in that and preach God's word to the people that's there. Well, I'm going to have to skip the question of the biggest issues that you face, because I think you summed that up pretty well.
Right.
But what would you say, I know you've given some good examples in that story, but what would you say the greatest thing that you've seen in that church, or just something that kind of stands out to you more than anything in your time there, that you know if it weren't for anything else, it was for that right there that you've been there?
Yeah, I think for me personally, the growth in exegesis of God's word has been one of those things that has been invaluable to me. Just opening up the Bible week after week and preaching God's word. I think that's for me personally, for the church. I think just the love for one another that is fostered inside this congregation, who comes together because we've changed the constitution, we've changed the bylaws, we've changed our statement of faith, we've accepted the London Baptist Confession as our church's expression of our faith, and to see the unity of mind and the love that is there between the members, I think, is one of those things, because it's not natural. It's a supernatural work of God to bring these people together to love one another the way that they do. And I think that right there is probably the greatest thing that I've seen out of my church.
That's awesome, man. I actually think, think about what Christ told his disciples. I forget where it's at exactly. I think it's Mark 15, actually. And he explains to them that people will know that you're his disciple by the way you love one another. And I think they're out there because, like we've, like everybody else knows, loving each other, loving people, doing church together, that's difficult, because you get a bunch of people together that are broken, sinful, with different opinions and thought processes. And when they can work together for one thing, it's nothing but God doing that. Man, it's awesome to hear just everything that's going on at Grace Family Church. Excited about the conference you got coming up. Real quick, while it's on my mind, just anybody that might be interested in going or anything like that, that are listening. I don't know how many people listen near Colorado Springs, but just in case, how can they find the information out about the conference?
Yeah, that's a good question. You can go to gracealonecolorado.com. and you can register there. And the best part about the registration is it's free. So you can register to come out to the conference. And just so those of you who are listening to this know that we've got four local pastors from around here preaching at the conference, and then we're bringing in Jeff Johnson from Arkansas. I don't know. Do you know Jeff Johnson?
I don't.
Okay. We've become pretty good friends. He was on my podcast a couple times, but he's coming in to be the keynote speaker. So I'm sure some of your listeners have heard of him. And he will be here in October 13th and 14th or 14th and 15th, whatever the second Friday and Saturday is of October. We're going to host that conference here. So you can go to gracealonecolorado.com. And you can like the Facebook page, just Grace Alone Colorado, follow it on Twitter, and I don't know if there's an Instagram. We've got somebody else running all that stuff. So, but it's on Twitter, Facebook, or you can go directly to the website.
All right. I probably should know this, but I'm not too aware of our diversity in listeners. But two questions I want to ask you, and then we'll get to kind of the plug of the week and kind of wind it all down. Because it's your time, it's only like 9:30 right now, I think. But my time, it's almost 12 o'clock. So, if we have anybody that's listening that's not a pastor or elder or youth pastor or anything of that nature, if there's anybody listening and they're just a lay member or just someone that serves the church, what's something you would just like for them to know that maybe other their pastor can't stand up and say about their role?
What was that last part right there?
Just something that if you could just tell them from their pastor that you think their pastor would like to know, what maybe they can't get up and stand up and say it themselves.
Yeah, that's a good question. I like that. It's I think of to make being your pastor easy. I think you need to be there for one thing in your church. You need to make it a joy to be your pastor, for your pastor to want to pastor you and to take joy in you as a member of the church. I think where Paul gets to that in 1 Corinthians, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, making it easy for your pastor, being there, supporting them. And they're never going to tell you that. They're never going to tell you that. Even when I was preaching through 1 Corinthians, I got to that section. It was very difficult to say. But, you know, I often tell people I'm kind of like an alligator. I'm too dumb to feel pain until I'm dead. And so, like, I say things like that, and then people are like, man, are you just saying this because you're the pastor? And I said, no, I'm not. You know, I'm really, it's what the Bible says. But your pastor is never going to tell you that. So you need to be a good church member. Show up on Sundays, support the things that are going on at the church. And if there is an issue between you and the pastor, don't gossip. That's one of the big ones. And don't slander your pastor. Go to him privately. And if he's truly a man of God, he will receive it and either graciously or tell you where he might think that you're wrong. But you guys can work those issues out together. And there's a beautiful restoration process that takes place. So that would be what I would say. Make it easy to be your pastor.
And I know this may be the typical thing to hear, but if you're listening, you're just a lay leader or a member of a church, the encouragement I would give you is to pray for your pastor, and then let them know you're praying for them. Then do everything that Cody just said, because me personally, I can handle when people come to me and disagree with me, but I don't like it when people talk about me behind my back. So definitely do what Cody said. But let's flip the question around. What would you say to pastors in leading their church?
I would say preach the word and don't back away from doing that, no matter the pressures that come on, because there are a lot of things. I mean, people look at you as the you're the high man now, you know, so they're looking at you, they're for their leader, they're looking at you for answers, and if problems are happening in the church, it's really going to come back to you, and there's going to be pressures to maybe not say something specifically this week, but if it's in the scripture, you got to say it that week. So preach the word, and God's going to bless that, and it might not seem like a blessing, but at the moment, but it will be, because God is going to bless you preaching his word and not being somebody who fears man, but who fears God more than men.
Awesome. My encouragement, because I want to answer the questions too, so I can talk a little bit, I guess. But my encouragement to you pastors out there, and some of you may disagree with me, but man, preach through the word of God, preach through books. I know some pastors may disagree with that. They're more of a topical base, and I guess there's nothing wrong with that technically. But man, there's a beauty in just sitting back and seeing God work through just the way the scriptures unfold in itself. But also, man, you probably can agree to this. It's probably happened in your church experience too. But man, I've been in issues in my church, and I'll see the hard times people are going through, or the difficulties in the church itself, and then I'll open up the Word on Monday or Tuesday, and I'll read through what's coming next to the Scripture, and then I sit back and I just look how amazing God is, because He's provided just the perfect scripture for the moment that these people are going through. And it's actually amazing to me. I was actually reading, and I'll recommend this book, I guess, since I'm going to bring it up, Preach by Mark Dever. And he actually shared a photocopy of his schedule when 9/11 happened. In the week after 9/11 happened, it was, I forgot what scripture he was preaching through, but it was pretty much just saying, trusting God when terror happens. And you know, I've seen little cases of that in my church, even still today, and the things that they go through. So pastors, man, not only stay faithful to preaching the gospel and preaching God's word, but man, preach through books, especially if you're at a church where you preach two or three times a week. Man, pick at least one of those services and preach through God's word. There's just a lot of help that's in that. All right, Cody, we're going to wind things down. And one thing we do in every episode is just the plug of the week. It's just an opportunity where we give resources to those that are listening. It could be a podcast. It could be music. It could be some videos. It could be a book. It could be just maybe a Facebook group. Just about anything. Normally mine tend to be books, but do you got any plugs for us?
Yeah, one of the resources, and you and I talked about this beforehand, was the Ordinary Pastor Podcast Facebook group. If you're not in there, join it and come in. Even though the podcast isn't running, there's still good conversation in the group, and there's still a lot of good guys in there. You're in there and some other pastors who I know, and it's been an encouragement to a lot of people, and I just wanted to continue that way, even though the podcast isn't going on at the moment. Books. Yes, I love books. And I think one of the best series that you could buy is David F. Wells' series, starting with the book No Place for Truth, or Whatever Happened to Evangelical Theology. If you have not read that, and then it goes on to God in the Wasteland, and he just finished the last book, I think 2 years ago, called God in the Whirlwind. It took him over 20 years to write the series. But it is incredible. And it's just talking about pragmatism and infecting the church. And it was that first book, The No Place for Truth, was probably the second best book I've ever read, theological book, anyways, I should say, that I've ever read. And I wrote to him because it was so meaningful to me, that book. And he actually corresponded with me for a while, but it was amazing. So I would say buy that book, No Place for Truth, or Whatever Happened to Evangelical Theology, and work your way through it, and then go on to God in the Wasteland and those others, because it will not be a waste of your time. It will just be something that you enjoy and you will benefit much from.
Awesome. I'll have to look that up myself and maybe read that first book. But me and you've talked about this before, I think. Being in seminary right now, it's very hard for me to read books that aren't on my syllabus for the semester. Actually, in the fall, I'm going to be taking Hebrew, so I don't think I'm going to be doing much reading at all outside of the classes I have. And scripture, of course. The resource I have is I want to second what he said. Join the Ordinary Pastor Facebook page. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you can go on there. I'm part of it. Maybe you can find it that way, or like you said, just search it. Great conversations that happen in there. Not constantly, so it won't blow your feet up, but they're good conversations and just men coming together and discussing how to lead the church and how to do these things. My second plug is, as of right now, the Ordinary Pastors podcast are still out there. They're still available on iTunes. Me and Cody were talking about it. He don't know how much longer they'll be out there, just for the simple fact of you can't host them forever. So go on there, get on there, look them up, download them all, because if you download them all, you'll have them, and listen to them. They're great conversations. I think I actually listened to every episode you've done. Obviously, I had to go back and download them all and listen to them, but some great conversations. Some of them I still reflect on today, man. I'm not sure. I can't remember the individual's name, so I don't want to go there. But my third recommendation is it's actually a commentary series. And commentaries are beneficial in a lot of ways, though I personally don't go to a commentary until after I've done a lot of the work in breaking down the scriptures and word studies and things like that. I do like to check my theology afterwards. But one that's just really been beneficial to me is actually a newer one. Some more modern guys are the ones that done it. It's called Christ-Centered Exposition. And it's really an easy read commentary. It's really informative, but it's not like a narrative commentary. So it's short and it's kind of concise. And I know there's a lot of good commentaries out there, so I'm not suggesting go out and buy all of them, but you know, maybe pick them up when you're preaching through books. Just a good resource for pastors out there. Cody, as we are getting ready to end, do you got one last thing you want to add and just say, maybe an encouragement to the pastors out there?
Yeah, I'd like to say to you, thank you again for the opportunity to be on here. It was my pleasure, and truly. And for the pastors, just know that I, as well as my church, pray for you weekly. We don't know you, and we might not ever know you, but we do pray for you every week in our prayer meeting before the service. And there's one man specifically in my church who prays for you every week. And one of the biggest encouragements I have is when everything seems down and everything seems hard and everything seems to not be going right, that God is up for you. And that's one of those things that we can draw from the scriptures and take great comfort in as pastors.
Most definitely. As I preach through Psalms chapter 9 today, we see that David reflects on all of the things that God had done for him, and it caused him to thank him and praise him and really just have joy in him. But later on in Psalms 9, I think it's verses 6 and 7, he explains that God will always be sitting on the throne. And that's a, man, that's just an encouragement when everything's bad, that we still have a God that is always going to be on the throne today, tomorrow, and for eternity. Well, Cody, man, I've enjoyed the conversation. I think this is our longest episode yet, but that's a good thing. Enjoy the conversation, man, and I'm glad you were able to get on here with me. This has been the Everyday Ministry Podcast.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in.